welcome everyone to another episode of the All Lions Bang the Table podcast. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. Great Friday to talk about the Detroit Lions. A wild six-day stretch for this Detroit Lions football team, trying to rebound, rally from a disappointing and very frustrating loss to the Dallas Cowboys in front of the nation, having calls not go your way, being blamed potentially by the National Football League. The Lions are tasked now with moving on from a game in which they had. The Lions were a team that were right there, competing toe-to-toe with the Dallas Cowboys, making the correct calls. Ben Johnson dialed up a two-point conversion that, by all accounts, should have won the Detroit Lions the football game. And what happened? The officials decided that Taylor Decker threw a flag for illegal touching based on eligibility rules and felt like he did not report properly, indicating that they felt that Dan Skipper was the player that reported on the two-point try. Well, Dan's come out, spoke to the media, spoke to All Lions. When I went up to him and asked him, hey, do you have a couple minutes to kind of talk? And he was gracious enough to grant some time to kind of give his feelings a couple days later. And his football team is now moving forward. Got to look at kind of the concerns maybe that maybe playing some starters in the season finale when there's not a lot to play for. I know seeding is still potentially on the line for the Lions to be the number two seed, but in the end, the risk that Dan Campbell is going to take is going to be worth it, I believe, in that you're going to play a Vikings team that's coming in reeling and shuffling through quarterbacks. So I think the opportunity to play the starters in front of the home crowd, the first time the crowd will get to celebrate a team that won the division, I think is going to make for a fun Sunday and still is an opportunity if the Lions do get out to a healthy lead that the starters could get some rest in the second half. So I think that this football team is going to rebound. Later on in the podcast, got to talk about a situation involving yours truly in the locker room. When you are an opinionist and you're tasked with instantly delivering your thoughts, I'll give my side of what happened on the post that I made about Derek Barnes at practice on Thursday. It did not sit well with Alex Anzalone, and at first Derek Barnes, a safety that you all know and love, definitely did not like what he was seeing from the Detroit Sports Podcast. I just set the stage in the second half and let everybody know what my intention was, what my thought process was, what happened, why posts appear on our Twitter page the way that they do, which is run by me, John Macaroon, and I own what is said. I'm accountable. So when you're in the locker room and you go in there, if the player doesn't like what you've said, they're going to talk to you about it. Now, could it have been handled a different way? Potentially, but I'll talk about that in the second half of the podcast. So stay tuned as I break down surviving two linebackers and an angry safety at Lions practice. And, you know, I sit here with a smile because I always, like I said, thanks to you guys, it's a blessing that I'm allowed to go in there and be who I am and present things the way in which I want to present them. And but all I got to do is just kind of set the stage because some questions were asked that I think are legitimate this week of me. Why do you ask these questions? Why do you post what you post? What is this about? And I think if people now, I didn't honestly think at first, and it's never good to assume that any Detroit Lion would look at the Detroit Sports Podcast. Honestly, I thought at first that this is content for the fans. And so knowing that the Lions are going to be looking intently and the players looking at what I'm saying, I'll have a message to them. I'll have a message so that you can know if you keep asking me why I post what I post, you can stop or you can keep asking me because I think I'm going to have the standard answer if you ask me that question moving forward. But I think this football team is poised for some good things. I think that, you know, I always look at it from this perspective. The Lions in the past have been on the wrong side of calls for so many years. And it's happened in big games. It's happened in playoff games. And what's happened as a result? Not much. Jim Caldwell got his team into the postseason against Seattle. Offensively, Lions didn't do much, and it ended up in an early exit. You look at Jim Caldwell, and his run peaked. You look at Matt Patricia, his era was a complete disaster. It flopped. It never went anywhere. Now you have a new culture. You have a new head coach who should be able to galvanize this group of players, rally them for a common cause, which is to understand that, okay, the league doesn't like us. The other NFL teams obviously are going to respect us based on our play. And I think across the league this year, the Lions gained respect. No team that steps foot out on the field against this Lions team with their physicality, with their playmaking abilities, outside of a couple games that were not competitive, the Lions were in most games. And you guys got to remember, at the end of the day, this football team, after 17 games, has an opportunity to go deep and make a run. So you look at this football team and you recognize, holy smokes, this is a good football team. And after 16 games, 11 victories, 11-5, this Detroit Lions football team is. And you have an opportunity to get your 12th win in a 17-game season. You realize that this football team has and set some goals that you would think now are achievable. But back in the past, you would say, okay, the Lions are trying to make the playoffs, trying to win the division, and you would kind of just chuckle. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't think that this football team could accomplish anything. But after the course was set, indicating Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes brought in young, gritty players, they brought in players that they felt like, hey, if there was some adversity, they wouldn't back down. If they faced a play that they couldn't make, they could rebound and make the next one. They could come back and rebound, not wallow in unfortunate situations. And I think this football team has that. I think that this situation that happened with the Cowboys should be the launching point of an era of Detroit Lions football that this fan base deserves. And I think that starts with playing the Vikings and really annihilating a Vikings team that you're better than. I think that the anger and frustration pent up is going to be taken out on the Vikings. And hopefully Detroit's first round opponent. And in a little bit, I'll talk about who I think the Lions will match up better against. Do I want the easier game or do I want the drama with Matthew Stafford? If you know Detroit Sports Podcast and you know John Macaroon, you know which team I want to show up at Ford Field week one to make it all worth it. The grind of the job, the multiple podcasts, the many articles, the driving down 40 to 50 minutes, battling traffic to get to Allen Park. To make it all worth it, who do I want to see? I think you know. But I think the season finale will be a celebration. Do I think it's a risk to play the starters? Yeah, it's inherently every game is a risk. Every game that these players suit up, whether it be Jared Goff and battling against defenders that want to take his head off, whether it be Penei Sewell's got to battle some of the top edge rushers in the league, whether it be Amon-Ra St. Brown or Jameson Williams, who got to face these secondary players and linebackers that want to do damage. Every week is a risk, but this Lions football team has to take advantage of an opportunity, maybe an outside chance to play for the number two seed. Yeah, it's an outside chance. You need Dallas and Philly to lose, and the situation probably is not, most likely after the game on Sunday, the Lions will still be the three seed. I don't see the Cowboys losing, and quite frankly, if the Eagles are going to continue this run of bad play heading into the postseason, there's going to be major concerns. As their defense has been shredded, they're coming off of tough losses. I expect them to rebound. And you recognize, too, that other teams, and I think when you see the Rams resting Matthew Stafford and a plethora of players, it makes you wonder, okay, what risk level are the Lions taking heading into the postseason? But look, I think that the Lions have been, you know, for the most part, they've been on the positive side since the beginning of the year of the injury situation. Yeah, the offensive line has had shuffling. Yeah, you've had some players like CeeDee Deuce and Emmanuel Mosley miss a big chunk of the season. But you still were able to, and that's the blessing of having a general manager like Brad Holmes, is when in the past you would hear next man up when a big injury happened, I would roll my eyes. Frankly, I just would roll my eyes and be like, yeah, okay, the Lions are going to withstand injuries to a linebacker, a secondary player, an offensive lineman. You know, Frank Ragnow misses a game, and you're like, well, it's probably going to be a loss. And I think that might have factored into earlier thought processes this season. But now it's different. I think the Lions getting back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Aleem McNeil, James Houston, for the playoffs should give this football team a boost, and it should give this Detroit Lions team and their fan base really something exciting to look forward to. So I am overlooking the Minnesota Vikings. That's me. The Lions are not. I'm overlooking the Vikings. I think it's going to be a blowout by 2 touchdowns. I would be surprised if it's competitive. I think the Lions should be riding high. I would be surprised if there was an emotional lull. I think that after this game, this Lions football team should be quite frustrated, quite angry, and ready to show the NFL world, okay, if you're going to continue to do these things to our football team, you're going to continue to have officials being competent in our games, watch what happens. I just can't help but think this is positive. And that's my mindset going into it because, you know, another thing that happened that I think is going to be great for this Lions football team is Amon-Ra St. Brown getting snubbed. Now, yes, it'd be great for him to be acknowledged for his work and be acknowledged for the things that he does and the true great player that he is. But for him, this is going to be great. Listen, I kind of relate to Amon-Ra's situation. You do good work, you show good numbers, but you look around and are you getting the respect that you think you deserve? Maybe not. Do others set up group chats and talk about you? Maybe. Do others maybe not view what you are bringing to the table in the way that you're bringing it? Maybe you're misperceived. Maybe that slights like this for Amon-Ra St. Brown can be used as a motivating factor, can be used to get this player to the next level too. There's more for Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I think a guy like that, listen, from experience, patting him on the back is nice. We all like it. Listen, I'll be honest. I like getting patted on the back. We all like to hear it. But for me, guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown, who have goals that are really, really astronomical, and you reach for the stars type attitude, start a podcast and see if the NFL will let you in as a podcast, be an NFL player and be drafted in the 4th round when you think you're a 1st round talent, I think this is great. I would have scripted this. I would have scripted Amon-Ra St. Brown being snubbed because now he's going to be more motivated. He was hot. I mean, literally, we talked to the man 10 minutes every week. This week, 2 minutes. And I think we got the tone that, and it was, I thought it was respectful from the media. Maybe it might not have been the first topic we should have asked right away, you know, kind of ease him into a talk about that. But you could tell he was frustrated. He was mad. And he used the word, I'm hot. He feels disrespected. And I think that's great. I think that's great. An angry Amon-Ra St. Brown is the St. Brown you want on this football team. Out there trying to prove people wrong, continuing to reach the heights that you know he's going to achieve. He will achieve it. He's got the right mindset. From an analytical perspective of everything that I know makes people succeed at the highest levels of success are people with Amon-Ra's mindset. And the more you disrespect him, the greater it is. The more you challenge him, the better it is. And people like that, people like me, have learned from people like Amon-Ra St. Brown. And it's been a pleasure to talk to him. It was short, though. I feel like you missed out. He's hot. Okay, we got our story. He's hot. That's the reaction. But I think it's going to be a positive. So after I overlook the Vikings and they dominate 12-5 home game, bring on the Los Angeles Rams. Not going to hide away from it. It ties into so many storylines. It allows for so many interesting talks, looking at the Rams and what they're saying, Matthew Stafford returning, how the fans are going to treat Matthew Stafford, bringing back the debate regarding Matthew Stafford's failed tenure in Detroit. Still got those that believe that Matthew Stafford was not to blame, not culpable for any of the issues that arose with the Lions over 12 years. You got the golf situation. Having to face off against the coach that moved on from him. I mean, the scriptwriters, I would have thought if they would have figured it out, would have had an opportunity to make it happen. Let the Lions win. They should have called down and said, Cowboys Rams in the 1st round of the playoffs. That doesn't have any intrigue. Rams Lions, pick up the flag. Pick up the flag. The script should be the Lions and the Rams. All the stories, all the intrigue. That would pique my interest. I would work nonstop. No tiredness, no complaints. Just grind and report stories and tell stories and debate with your friends and the water cooler and the interest. So being self-serving, that's who I want. I want the Lions to face the Rams. I want Goff to have the ultimate motivation to prove that Sean McVay was wrong. I want Matthew Stafford to come into Ford Field, maybe having a deficit with 5 minutes left. In the defense, you get Kirby Joseph, CJ Gardner-Johnson picking him off, high-stepping in the end zone. And then I get to sit here and say, I told you people for a decade, Matthew Stafford was not worth the $25 million. And all of you that debated me and slandered me and said, oh, paying Stafford, you got to pay these quarterbacks. Was it worth it? He walked out on you. He said, I had enough. I tap out. Matthew Stafford tapped out. He said, I can't handle this in Detroit anymore. I can't sit here and grind through this. He got out. He got his ring. That's the guy that you wanted? That's the guy that you supported? I mean, after year 6, 7, I was like, I'm out. I'm ready for something new. You know, I'm not paying this man $25 million because you could almost, I didn't foreshadow he'd actually walk out on the team and say, I want out. I foreshadowed that it was just going to be a collapse like it was. It just, nothing was going to happen. And thankfully, you brought in a general manager who made something out of the disaster that was the Matthew Stafford era. And I'm so thankful that this is what came of it. You got to rebuild a football team and there was a silver lining in the failed Matthew Stafford era. Lions, Rams. That's what I want to see. And I think the Lions will have the ultimate motivation. And I think when you play a better opponent, you're locked in. When you play the Packers, you kind of feel like, okay, inherently, yeah, you're going to work the long hours and grind, but you kind of already have some information in place. You kind of already know what you got with Jordan Love. It's the easier game. I think that the Packers provide you the easier path to the next round to maybe play Dallas. But I think the intrigue and the worthiness, if you're going to play Dallas, and the challenge that you could face, and the benefit and the emotional high that you get from beating Matthew Stafford and the Rams, that could carry you into the NFC title game. That could really, you win that game as the first playoff win. I need it. I just need it. Inject it into my veins. For those of you that are out there that are like, I don't want to revisit all this again, and I want the focus to be on the. Listen, I don't care what the national narratives are. I care what my narratives are and something I want to see. So I care about those things. I don't care what the national media decides to cover. I don't need the Lions to be the darlings of the NFL world when they're never going to be. I need the Rams and the Lions. Give it to me. One time, NFL gods, your boy deserves it. So in the last five, 10 minutes, let me share something that happened and kind of think about a question that now has been asked. So obviously it's been asked to me now multiple times. And I think it's a question that maybe online and when you see it, when people say, why do you post this on Detroit Sports Podcast? Why is this what you choose? Why? I've always had the hardest time conceptualizing why. I've said it in podcasts. I've said it many times. I started Detroit Sports Podcast 10 years ago. And my vision was, if a fan who was a former season ticket holder of the Lions, I shelled out money, I posted online, I was and am a Lions supporter from Detroit, growing up watching the Lions, Barry Sanders, watching the team, you know, in my teenage years with Wayne Fonts up and down, watching as a youth, becoming blessed to have season tickets, tailgating with my boy, creating good memories. If a website, if a sports Twitter page was opened back in 2013 with somebody that just didn't give a rip, just if he thought it, he tweeted it. I said, let's see where it would go. I think it was just before cancel culture. I think it was maybe just in the height of seeing that. I think this is the page that if it was there, I would like. So let's start it and see. Let's see. I think to start the Twitter page, I've started on Twitter, my own personal page in 2009. And in 2013, I started the Detroit Sports Podcast Twitter and the podcast with the notion of not giving it too much thought. Just if it's entering your brain, you're thinking it, you post it and you live with the ramifications. And I have not been canceled. I feel like it took me to the level of success where you see now I can make investments in not only one, I have two platforms to be able to discuss here in the studio and then another studio in Sterling Heights, I have two areas where I can go and express myself and do my thing. And it took me to heights of success that I never really believed until I had the hurdles put in front of me, where they said, we don't think that a podcast can be a media outlet. That's what I was told. And another situation where someone had told me, we don't know who you are, so we're not going to have you as a guest on our television show. I said, you don't know who I am? Yeah, you're not credentialed media. We don't know who you are. My producer doesn't know who John McEachran is. And I was like, you don't know who I am? Okay, I guess I got to go about becoming credentialed media, and let's see if I can cover the NFL. So I still took that attitude, which is, if I think it, post it, and live with the consequences, good or bad. You own it. Not everything you're going to post people are going to like. Not everything you're going to post is going to be exactly proper. But you know, if you know John McEachran, you know where it's coming from. From the strong desire to win, to make the play, to do what's right. That's the focus. And anything that veers away from that is agitating. When you do a podcast, and I see podcasts with audio issues and people who have our professionals who can't get their technical stuff right, it bothers me in this day and age, especially with the hours that I came as an untrained person coming in and training myself to air podcasts and record and put together these things. I trained myself with the help of the people that I care about. So now this is what happened on Thursday. Obviously, and here's to a little background. I am not allowed to meet John McEachran, my outlet, Detroit Sports Podcast, not a league partner. I'm not in with the Lions. I am only allowed to post 90 seconds total a day of video, including all the practice, all the things that the players say when a day or two or three players can come and talk. 90 seconds. So that means I have to be judicious. I have to pick what's relevant, what's important, and what I see at practice. So the Lions asked, you know, after I posted on social media on Thursday, Derek Barnes tackling and making a play. And on my post, it said, pretend that's Dak Prescott, number 55, Derek Barnes. Now, if you're coming from a place of negativity, you think, oh, John's being disrespectful. He's not. No, that's not where I was coming from. Here was my thought process. Okay, first and foremost, I'm not allowed to post all of the clip that I have. It was Jack Campbell hitting the bag too. It was Alex Anzalone. It was the linebackers. And if you look at my Twitter page, I've posted that same video of that drill. That's my favorite drill. I love hitting. I love linebackers. I love the linebacker position. That's the position I watch on film and I talk to Christian about and I talk to, look at this and look at that. That's the position I love. So I posted that tackling video 50 times on my Twitter page. But knowing that it's a Thursday and players are going to talk, I only can parse and discuss one thing. So what am I going to pick? Derek Barnes. That's what I picked. And I also picked Dan Skipper. Now, would I have loved to shown the whole drill? Would I have loved to shown others? Yes, I would have. But if the players want more context in the videos that I show, go ask the league, please give John McEachran 5 minutes of video time, and I'll show the whole context. I'll show the whole drill with everybody, because my thought was, yes, Jack Campbell hits that bag. My thought was envisioning a quarterback getting nailed by Jack Campbell. That was my vision. My vision was Derek Barnes hitting Dak Prescott. That's the vision that I had. Make the play. That's the vision I come at, not as your friend, not as your PR director, as a coach is kind of why I envision things. Make the play. Why didn't you make the play? You're on the team. That's why you're here. But when you don't make a play, I'm not going to be nice. I'm not happy. So I had told, and I manifested the chaos that happened. I literally did. Because here's what I told the media member. I see the drill happening, and I started laughing. I said, oh my God, I turned to one of the team reporters and another reporter, and I said, if I was on the Lions this week, if I was on the team, I'd get my ass kicked this week. And I think they looked at me like, huh? Because I started laughing. I would get my ass kicked this week. Why? Because I would be texting Derek Barnes that gif of him whiffing nonstop. I would literally pay money to get a Dak Prescott blow-up doll and run into it and say, Derek, this is how you do it. I'd be agitating him and be like, this is what did you do? That's the kind of guy I am, coming from a place of make the play. That's it. No disrespect. So I saw the clip And that was the thought I had. Pretend that's Dak Prescott. Boom, hit him. Good. That's what I expect next time. That's the place I came from, all honesty. You go in the locker room and you know, you're writing and you have some unexpected stories come up. And like I said, it's a great job. But you're tired and you just go in and it was different. The first time it ever happened to me. Alex Anzalone comes to me and he's like, "Why did you post that?" In kind of an aggressive tone. Like, I was startled a little bit because, first, like I said, I never thought that they'd look at the stuff that I post. Never in a million years would I think that they would look at the stuff that I do. So thank you for acknowledging and for showing it to them. It makes me happy. It validates what I'm about, what I'm doing. That I am doing stuff that people are going to see, that it resonates. That I'm not just some hack Twitter account. People are going to see it. The Lions are going to see it. Why did I post it? Because you fans like it. Because I think it. Because I liked it. Because I thought it, I posted it. If I ever get to the point where I think something and I don't post it, I'm quitting. I was not disrespectful. If they need to know what disrespect looks like, if I was disrespectful, I would have tagged them in it and I would have said, "Hey, look at why they jacked. Jack Campbell needs to play more. Or look, your spot on the team needs to be gone." That's disrespectful. That's taking it to another level. Tagging him in it, calling him out and saying, "Hey, AG needs to sit you." That's disrespect. Disrespect is not posting it and then being willing to show up there. I wanted to talk to Derek Barnes. I wanted to talk to him. So when he asked me why, I'm in that manner, two linebackers and an angry safety, it's hard to actually get the answer that you would want. Next time, I would say the Lions, if you have an issue, I'm right there. I go there as much as possible. Just pull me aside. What's this about? Or we don't like it. He didn't tell me I didn't like it. His first question was why? You know, and I should have asked him, why didn't you like it? But I had the chance and Derek Barnes gave me the chance to talk to him man to man. And that's all I can ask for. It was to state my case and get the story that I wanted. But when you ask me why, the question's always, I think it. I come from a fan's perspective, and I believe that what I think portrays a large portion and reflects a large portion of the fans who follow me, who allowed me to build this, who allowed me to build not one, two podcast platforms. You want to do a podcast? Build two of them. You want to build a podcast? Go cover the NFL. That's why I do it. No disrespect. How am I going to disrespect an NFL linebacker? It was not disrespectful. And I know that I get to sit here and blessed to do it. And I know that I got to be accountable for what I post. And I was. Not scared. Never have been. Never will be. I know now there's some players in the locker room who don't like me. It's fine. I respect that. You're allowed to feel that way. I never take it personally. I don't take it personally how it was done, which may be not the best. But I recognize that the reason why, Alex, I posted that is because I'm happy. I'm happy to see. I was kind of disappointed that I didn't see Dak Prescott's face on that tackling bar, that tackling dummy. I think it's a good thing. And I'm happy that you get to rebound and do that drill to focus on tackling. And hopefully the next time that the opportunity presents itself, the Lions make the play. And that's what I'm about. I think it, I post it. That's why, because you guys like it. I don't do it for the Lions. I don't do it for the other media. I do it for me. And I do it for the people who have supported me and brought me to the dance. And until they say, stop it, those people, I'll keep doing it. And that's what I'm about. Grinding, working hard, and presenting what I think you guys like. And guess what? I don't have to hide it. I'm successful. The site's successful. 5 years in. I'm very happy. They've given me the reins to do it. And you got to be accountable. So the Lions know you can come talk to me. If you have an issue, I would more prefer you pull me aside. You can get a real answer. If you just come at me like that, it's kind of jarring. And you ask me why, I post it because I think it. That's the thing. From my brain to the internet, that's what it is. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the latest episode of the All Lions Bang the Table podcast.